That chorus, "Thy praise," will be the first thing that comes out of my mouth in the morning. Wouldn't that be something to wake up? The first thing that comes to you is, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us." How does it do that? It does it with that song that we sang just before Sunday school. "Thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above." I've been doing it yesterday when I went to sleep. I was thinking about the Lord, and I wake up in the morning and it just comes natural. It's not something that the preacher has to come to, or the pastor would go to the congregation and say, "I need you to let me know how much time did you spend thinking about the Lord this week." We want it to come natural. And I'll tell you, that matches the message that I have to share with you today. For several weeks, we've been talking about, I have a desire that I have good fruit flowing out of my life to give to other people. And we've talked about ways to do that and some of the fruit that we would like to be able to have. This morning, I would like to back way up to when it's a seedling. It has just begun to be a seed, whether it's for good or whether it's for bad. If I were to put a title to this morning, it would be Miracle-Gro or Roundup for my thoughts. And here's a goal that I want to have for my life, is Psalms 19 and 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So what it's not saying is, "Lord, I want you to be happy with the things I'm thinking." No, I'd like the things that I'm thinking to cause you to be happy. And it's a desire. There was a quote that I saw this morning, because this needs to be a goal that I have in my life. "Lord, I want this verse right here to be fulfilled in my life." And so I saw this quote: "If you aim at nothing, you're guaranteed to hit it every time." If I don't have any goal in life for this right here, if I really don't care one way or another if I have the meditations that are pleasing to him or not, then I'm going to hit low expectations. So I want to tell you something that kind of got me thinking about this was, I had an asphalt driveway put down last year, and I don't know how it can do it, but I had grass growing up in the middle of the driveway, and growing up enough that for it to look good, I needed to run the mower down the middle of my driveway every once in a while. And then I talked to Brother Dennis, and he said, "You need some Roundup for that." In fact, I happened to walk into the chapel one day when he was out spraying our asphalt cracks where grass was coming up. And so he got me some of the product, and I took it home, and I've had no problem since then. It didn't just do what my mower did and take the tops off, and next 2 weeks it comes back again. But instead, when you spray it on, it goes down to the root, and it kills the root system and takes it out. If my thoughts are like a seedling, am I able to tell which plants in my mind should get Miracle-Gro, should be nurtured, hoping to see them grow, and which ones should be destroyed with Roundup? Which thoughts, while it's still a seedling, that I would be able to recognize, you know, we're going to need the Lord's help to even be able to recognize that. Because as a seed, you can't even tell what that's going to be at the end of it all. I need the Lord, when a thought comes to me, that I be able to recognize by the Lord's help, this one, you can pour some fertilizer on it. It would be good to grow. It'll make some good fruit for you and others out in the future. But here's some that don't put any Miracle-Gro on this one. Yesterday I was out doing some clearing in some woods, and I saw this pretty vine going up the tree. You know, I could put Miracle-Gro on that, and it would really love it. There's only one problem. There were a bunch of three-leaf clusters on it. Poison ivy. The last thing you want to do is put Miracle-Gro on poison ivy. You'd like to get rid of it. That's one of those things that need to be destroyed. Someone asked you, and you don't raise your hand, because I'm not going to tell mine either. Have you had any experiences of a thought that you put Miracle-Gro on when you should have done Roundup? And how you best tell it is some time passes by, and you realize, I really wish I had not caused that one to grow like it did, because it didn't turn out to be a benefit to me or to others. We heard this morning about the mercy of the Lord to us, that He comes along to help us in these kind of times. Because it's real easy for me as a seedling, a thought comes to my mind, and I say, you know, I see this situation that I can help. There's a problem going on between two people or whatever. I think I could step in and cause that. I'll be a peacemaker. I'll just step in and I can do something about this situation. And then before it's over, I realize I really wish I hadn't got involved in that one, because it fulfilled that scripture that said it's going to be like taking a dog by the ears. You're going to get bit before you get through with this. We have probably all had incidents in our life to where we really wanted fruit to grow, but we fertilized the wrong thoughts that came to us. I want us to look at a verse in Luke, the 8th chapter. Because what I'm interested in is if we could just realize a thought that's presented to me, I need the Lord to be able to help me to know what I do with those. In Luke 8 and 14, this is where the seeds have been planted. The sower went out to sow, and it says in the 14th verse, they which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard it, they go forth and they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. When you look at this verse, you wouldn't fertilize thorns. But this one, right up in the middle of what could have been good seed, it was choked by cares. Where do cares come from? It begins with a thought that is going through my mind. Where does the choked with riches, you know, that begins with a thought that goes through my mind, that I either feed it or I say, Lord, help me to be able to value this and temper it in the right way. Pleasures of this life. We see the world around us today are drunk on pleasures of this life. And you know what? We don't have to go down to 122nd and get on a Ferris wheel to say this, pleasures of life. But things that can just occupy my mind throughout the day. Julie was talking about the books that we could read. You know, that's kind of old time things now, because you can put your earbuds in and you can do it while you're working. You can do it while you're driving. We have the same opportunity to hear the messages. So I'm glad for the progress we have made in technology. But I still want to realize, you know what? These things that happen, the word was choked because there were cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Can begin with a little seed, a little something got planted in my mind, and it began to grow. And I either fed it or I said, no, we won't go down this way. I'm going to cut it loose. All of those are fed or starved by thoughts. And I thought of this. I hadn't really realized it until reading it again this time. But you know, over in Luke in the 12th chapter, this, when it tells us about the man, the rich man, that his crops brought in a lot, sometimes it's easy for me to think, you know, over this next year, he spent a lot of time building barns, and he spent a lot of time doing these things. He didn't spend any time with any of it. Take a look at the 17th verse of that. He thought, there was just a little seed that got planted. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He's going to put Miracle-Gro on it, or he's going to put Roundup on it. Then he chose. He said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits, my fruits and my goods. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods." You know what? This comes closer to home than sometimes I would like to admit. Because we don't hardly think about it when something just becomes a little thought. God judged him off of the direction that he was going to do. He didn't build it, and then God judged him. You know, and down here it says, and he answered to him, God's response to him was in the 20th verse, "Thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you." It was just what was going through his mind, and he made a decision to take it in a direction. I want to realize, I want good fruit to come from my life. I want to realize it begins with a seed that is planted. And you know what? That seed, we think about this man, he just came up on that thought himself. If we could just realize that the devil is the master of planting a little seed in our thought process. And we're not talking about sinful things always. It's just things that can cause our relationship with the Lord to be weakened. But I would like to move now to one that is a contrast to that. There was something that was done to this plant, if we looked at it that way. It's Psalms 1 and 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord." Now that's something. You know what those, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, that's thought process also. Those are thoughts that are coming to him, and he's putting, which ones will I fertilize and which ones will I kill out? He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Things that choices he has made, I'm going to crucify those things. I'm not going to feed those things in my life. But here's what I'm going to do. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. And it brought about some good things for him. You know, the Word of God has a potential to be Miracle-Gro for us. It also has the potential to be Roundup for our life. In Galatians, and this is the chapter where we find, I want to have some good fruit. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, and in the 19th verse, when we look at these, we don't want to go this place, but it talks about the works of the flesh. And we can look in the world all around us and see, you know what? There was a thought planted for each of these works of the flesh to be fulfilled. And they put Miracle-Gro to it. They allowed it to continue to grow when it could have been, needed to have been crucified at that stage. But we go on down to, I want to look at Galatians 5 and 24. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." By the Lord's help, I don't want it to be after it has grown for 6 months and now I'm needing to chop it down. I want to be able to recognize in my life thoughts that are presented to me that will cause my relationship with the Lord to be weakened. It doesn't have to be sin all the time. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh." And then we look just up above there, the fruits of the Spirit. You know what? Each of those fruit of the Spirit comes from a thought presented in the mind. And I can feed that one. Yeah. What is it? Love? Does love just come naturally? I believe love would be, it first starts in the mind. It first starts with my thinking. And all these others also, long-suffering, gentleness, all of these I need to realize, you know what, it starts as a seed. These other works of the flesh start as a seed also. So I want to realize how valuable it is that I take a hold and recognize how valuable my thought process is and nip the things that will cause me trouble out in the future. This fruit will not come to a good help to others or to me. There's something else for me to realize, and it's probably happened to you too. The devil will present us with a thought and then back off and say, if you were a Christian, why would you even be thinking such a thing? There's something we need to realize. Sin is not committed when a thought is presented. What determines sin is what I do with it. If I take that thought and I put Miracle Grow on it, I feed it, or I kill it, is what determines whether there will be sin or not. And the example that I thought about, when King David stepped out through his door onto his roof and saw the woman bathing, there was no sin committed. Had he only killed the thought as a seedling, the story would be so different today. If only he had done what Psalms 1 and 1 and those verses. Here's the things that I've set aside. Here's the things that I meditate on day and night. If he had been meditating on the Ten Commandments, he would have never had that problem and gone by off of what his thought process was for that. Because there are some verses that I want to have stored away in my heart. Psalms 119 and 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, at the time when David stepped out there and saw her, he needed something immediate. He didn't need something, well, I'm going to search the Bible and see if I should proceed with this or should I not. No, and here's where that comes from. The help that he could have had and the help that we can have is found in Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know what? That was available for David back then. The enemy came in like a flood with a thought. The Spirit of the Lord would have liked for him and for us to be able to lift up a standard against him. And that could have been done so easily with just one verse. Thou shalt not covet. Just a few little words if he would have just let those be the next thought that comes in and be able to take those. That could have been his protection. There is a place where I look at the sin process. It's gradual, but it's definite unless we turn it. I want to look at that in James, in the first chapter. Because all these things tell me, if I want to have good fruit, I'm going to have to be able to be on guard. Let no man say when, 13th verse, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I want to think about this. First of all, there's a thought that is presented. And that thought, whether I cast it out or whether I give it a little bit of fertilizer, is critical at this point. Because then it moves to another step. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That can happen so easily, yes. Step by step. When it first started as a little seed, that would have been real easy to say, I will not go to those places. And I think about where Satan will tempt. He would also like to say, why are you having these thoughts go through your mind? You know, Jesus had some tempting thoughts go through his mind. And it tells us that Satan was the one that brought him. Said after he had been fasting for 40 days, he was a hungry. And you know, there is nothing wrong with being hungry after 40 days. But that you, after 40 days of fasting, you're not going to do what the devil wants anyhow. But I think of those places, and that's in Matthew, the 4th chapter, where it gives a step-by-step, Satan comes with something else. What I really want to look at with that is, Jesus did not say, I'm going to look through the Word of God and see if I can find something, and I'll come back and talk to you next week about it. I think I can find something. As soon as one was presented, here came another one. He had a verse. It is also written. You know, Satan can even take scripture and give you scripture, and you can find it. He'll even tell you where to find it in the Bible. Well, what I like about the Bible, and it's Sister Maxine has been valuable in helping me to think about this. There's a verse that says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You can take one verse out of scripture and read it and almost do anything you want to be able to do. But if you go take this scripture and then it joins with this one over here, now it all starts balancing out. That's why to me it's going to be so valuable. Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart. Not because I'm trying to tell people I've memorized the most verses of anybody, but because I've got me a little storehouse of weapons that the Spirit of the Lord can use to bring to my memory, bring to my thought process when here comes this temptation, and be able to help us with it. Think of one of the places where we don't hardly ever think about there have been a thought process. But in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we don't read about the offerings that God was expecting. We just read where Cain's was rejected and Abel's was accepted. But then we start seeing some things there. You know, there was some time for some thoughts, a little seed of thought to be planted in Cain's mind. And it says in the fifth verse of fourth chapter of Genesis, unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the seventh verse, here's God talking to Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If you don't do well, sin lies at the door. You know where that's going to work from? The thoughts are going to start. And look at the next verse in the eighth verse. Cain talked with Abel. It doesn't tell us if it was a day passed by or if it was that afternoon or if it was years passed by. But I want to tell you, just knowing human nature, there was a thought process that should have been killed with some roundup of the Word of God. He could have easily said, Lord, I tell you what, if you will just tell me, well, what did he say? If you do well, you'll be accepted. What if his response would have done, Lord, show me how to do it well. I want to be able to do it. And my thought process starts from there. But it says in the eighth verse, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, when we look at these, I would say I'll never go to those kind of levels. We hear about some of the, sometimes in court we will hear about murder that just happened on an instant or premeditated murder. When someone is able to take a thought and they keep on building on that thought, going in the wrong direction, I've watched it happen. A workplace shooting that they go back and they research, how did this even happen? That guy got fired a year ago, and we haven't never seen him since. And this morning he came in and he killed six people. We heard years ago about the postal workers. You know, that was something that maybe a year had passed. What was happening in that time? This little seed that either we throw it out, we cast it aside, we put some roundup of God's word on it. What are some of the things for us? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That can happen to the post. It did happen to the postal worker. It can happen to us, and yet we're Christians, so we know how to not let it go too far. You know, when someone does us wrong, and it takes us a long time to turn it loose, you know what's happening? It's in the seedling process. And I'm putting some Miracle-Gro on it, or I am going to kill it. I don't want to go there. And you know, the best way to kill unforgiveness, I believe, is to always have thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What verse would we use that would kill it right off? If you don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. I need to have that to where it just bubbles to the top instantly when someone does me wrong and I'm about to start carrying it along and its baggage to me. I say, Lord, help me out. The story of Jacob and Esau. You know, there was a big trouble began when the mother had a thought. You know, God came to her when she was expecting the two children and told her, the youngest is going to rule over the eldest. She should have just taken that from God, stored it aside. You remember when Mary, the mother of Jesus, had some thoughts come into her mind? When she walks into, they take Jesus into the temple, and Simeon and Anna meet him and tell him, foretell things that are going to happen out in the future. There were some places where it said Mary pondered these things in her heart. She just stored it back. Lord, you will work out which way you want this to go. If only Rebecca, with her two children, had said in her heart, just kept it to herself, loved both children, kept it to herself, and wait for God to work it out. But you know, instead, what she realizes is when Esau is about to get the blessing that she knows Jacob should have, she decides, her thought process starts going, and that's where it's going to be real important. Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. This is where the thought process started for her. A thought was presented, and I tell you, it didn't come from the Lord. So Satan brings her a thought. You're going to have to do something because Jacob is supposed to be the one that rules over Esau. So they went through this thing that caused a thought to come to Esau when he realized how it had been taken deceitfully. Esau says, I tell you what, when Dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother. And it was 40 years later before Jacob is coming back again. I wonder how many of those years was this seed in Esau being planted, being fed. It happens so many times. But as a Christian, I know how to keep the cap on it. I don't let it go too far. But I tell you, it can be a hindrance to us in places in our life where thoughts that are presented, and I want to be able to recognize, where did this one come from? So often the devil would like for us to say, well, that was just your thought that came to you. If we could only be able to recognize the many places that the devil wants to plant just a little seed and then step back and watch if we're going to feed it or if we're going to kill it. You know, we will never be able to know how that story would have really ended. How would it have stepped its way through? Jacob went on from there to Laban and deceived him and was also deceived. That was a sad story by the time that thing ended up. How do mine end up whenever I let my thoughts go away? But there's a contrast that I want to talk about before closing. Joseph, sold by his brothers, 13 years as a slave. That's 13 years of thoughts being able to be planted and grow to a big old tree of hatred in him. It doesn't even say what he did with the thoughts, but really it does. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and many be defiled, he didn't have that problem. Was he just a special person? I believe he had a contact with God. Yes. To where he was able to recognize, you know what, this one is not going to take me in a good direction. He cannot retaliate against the woman that lied about him. But you know what, in his head, he could spend years thinking about, if I ever get to correct this, I'm going to correct it. His brothers that sold him into slavery, there's nothing he could do to retaliate against them except in his mind for 13 years. But instead, somehow, I get to recognize that he took those seeds that could have grown into trees and we would not have had him as an example today. And he put Roundup on them. Because he was able, in the 45th chapter of Genesis, Fifth verse, he said to his brothers, now it's his time to retaliate if he wants to. And he tells them, don't be angry. And he goes on down in the eighth verse, he says, it wasn't you, it was God that did it. What a way to take 13 years of wrongs done in my life and come out on the other side where now you get to see the fruit of my life and have that for it. I say, Lord, help me in the things that will come to us tomorrow, next week, next year. Help me to realize, you know, this is a seed that's getting planted. I get to do something with it. When the verse says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it sounds like the heart is the big part. But you know what? Before it ever gets to the heart to become my affections, it becomes a thought first. If I can catch it as a thought and be able to tell the Lord, Lord, I can't really tell the difference between them at that little seed time. It seems pretty much the same to me, but I need your spirit. You know, that tells us that those fruits that were born, those fruits that are good, are fruits of the spirit to start with. So for me to realize the value of the spirit to come into my life and help me, what does it say? You'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you would turn to the left and when you would turn to the right. How great would that be to bypass? There are people that for years are under a load of what somebody did to them. How great would it be to bypass it when it first hits as a thought and the Lord be able to tell you, let me tell you where this will take you if you follow this trail, and to be able to say, Lord, I'm putting some Roundup on it. I'm going to kill this thought. I want you to feed the thoughts that will be a help to me. So let's look at a verse in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 10 and 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Where does imagination start? It's a thought that was presented. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in, look at this right here, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Try this at night when you wake up at 2:00 in the morning and a thought gets planted. It's not sinful. It's something that you're supposed to do when you get up in the morning. There's not a thing you can do about it. It's 2:00 in the morning, still dark outside. And before you can tamp that thought down, there's another thought hits it. And then another one comes. I know because I spent about 2 hours this morning trying to go back to sleep. And just thought after thought. And I got to thinking about all these verses. It's one thing for me to read this. It takes only a few seconds. Bringing into captivity every thought. But for me to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize I cannot do it on my own, even for thoughts that are not sinful, just thoughts that won't let me go back to sleep again. I have tried before to say, okay, Lord, I tell you what, I know there's things I need to do tomorrow, and I know we have next weekend someone's supposed to have a wedding at a pond. Well, to have a wedding at a pond, it needs to look at least a little bit decent. And I look at all those things, and then here comes another thought in my head. I've got 3 dogs. If they happen to get out about the time the wedding has started, I'm in big trouble because Ron and Bryce know my dogs. They love to be around people. The more people, the merrier for them. And at 2:00 in the morning, I'm thinking about this. Now, how am I going to prevent that if the garage door gets opened up? And it can be you have your own that probably happened to you. But I get to realizing these things. They can just start kind of bogging down your mind. And then they get over in the care category to where when the other seed gets planted, you know what the seed of the Word of God this morning is really a seed that's trying to be planted in our thought process also, and that we feed the right and that we round up and destroy the wrong. So here's another verse. Philippians 4 and 8. 4 and 7 first. We get to enjoy the benefits of it before we even do it. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This is while it's still in the thought process. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. You know, we sing that song about, let the first thing that comes out of my mouth in the morning be some praise that comes up to you. If there's going to be any praise, going to need to think on these things. I'd like for us to close with looking at a verse of song. Because the process, you know, it told us about the sin process. But you know, I don't sin. But there's still a process that happens. And I want us to look at it. Song number 141, verse number 3. Because this song, the title is, I Want You to Guide Me. Its third verse says, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. Let me on thy goodness ponder, yea, on things of heavenly worth. That's while it's in the thought process. This next verse, it has moved to another process. Now, Lord, guide my words, that they be spoken. They've been thoughts at first, and I could have discarded them if they were not good ones. But now I'm going to let them out. Guide my words, that they be spoken in such kind and loving way. They may heal a heart that's broken, someone's darkness turned today. You know, words are going to continue to be something. Fifth verse says, guide my actions, O my Father. Guide my soul. There's been a progression here. Just a little bit ago, two verses ago, it's, I want you to guide my thoughts. It's just been a thought presented to me. But now I'm fixing to talk about it. Guide my words. And now guide my actions. It's going to be a part of who I am. Thee I'll follow and no other. Be my guide forevermore. I say, Lord, help me to realize the value of what I do with the thoughts that come into my mind. They're not all sinful thoughts, and that's what makes it hard to determine where they will end up. They may just occupy too much of my time, too much of my attention, and it was only just a little thought that was presented. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to be able to have that because I believe at the end of that time, we will have fruit that's acceptable and helpful to others. I desire your prayers.